Good afternoon. I would like to present our challenge paper, Cyber Physical System Challenges for Human-in-the-Loop Control. I'm Sirajul Munir. The other co-authors are John Stankovic, my advisor, Mike Liang from Microsoft Research Asia, and Shan Lin from Temple University. Let's start with some motivating applications. Human-in-the-loop feedback control system offers exciting opportunities to a broad range of cyber physical system applications. Let's consider two such applications. In the first one, human-in-the-loop control is used in a wheelchair-mounted robotic arm to retrieve an object. Here, humans give inputs by using a touch screen or joystick, which is analyzed by a vision processing system to position the robotic arm to retrieve the object. In this case, humans directly guide the controller to take appropriate action. In the next case, humans do not directly give any command. Here, in a smart thermostat, the system passively monitors human occupancy and their sleep patterns and uses these patterns to turn off HVAC when it's not needed to save energy. Being motivated by various human-in-the-loop applications, we propose three challenges. The first one is the need for comprehensive understanding of the complete spectrum of human-in-the-loop controls. The second one is the need for deriving models of human behavior by using appropriate modeling techniques. And the third one is determining how to incorporate these behavior models into the formal methodology of feedback control. Let's go through the challenges one by one. So our first challenge is the need for the comprehensive understanding of the complete spectrum of human-in-the-loop control. There are many variations in human-in-the-loop feedback control system. We need to understand the complete spectrum to determine the principles and subtleties that separate them. It will help future applications to be built by exploiting the commonalities. To begin to understand the spectrum, we started creating a taxonomy of human-in-the-loop applications based on the type of control that they employ. We categorized human-in-the-loop applications into three categories. The first category, where we have applications where humans directly control the system. In the second category, we have applications where systems passively monitor human behaviors and take actions. In the third category is a hybrid of the first two. Let's start with the first one. Here, humans directly control the system. Normally, people use supervisory control for this type of problem. In supervisory control, involvement of humans take place in two ways. In first case, the process runs autonomously, and humans intervene the control algorithm when needed by changing some sort of set points. In the second case, the process accepts a command. It carries out the command, reports the results, and then waits for further commands to be received from the human. A concrete example of this case is wheelchair-mounted robotic arm. Here, humans give direct command to control the controller to take appropriate action. In this type of problems, interfacing humans to the control is a challenge. In the second category, where the systems passively monitors human behaviors and take actions, this type of applications could be further categorized into open systems or closed system. For example, Lullaby is an open system where the system tracks the quality of sleep. It uses sound sensor, light sensor, temperature sensor, motion sensor, and records the environmental situation when a person sleeps. Then it shows this information in a tablet that will help the people to figure out the potential causes of sleep disruptions. This is an open loop system because it does not proactively do anything to improve the quality of sleep. In contrast to this, a closed loop system could be an advanced driver assistance system. Think of a system where the system monitors the physiological parameters of the driver, whether the driver is drunk or he's tired or angry or even he's distracted, and then closes the loop by either raising an alarm to the driver or even wrestle control from the driver when the driver is unfit to keep the safety requirement. In the third category, we have those applications where humans give input to the system and the system also passively monitors humans. For example, smart energy management, which is targeted for comfort and also for saving energy. Here, human can set the temperature set points and the system also monitors the exact location of the human and delivers the right amount of energy into the right time. It is not clear how many different types of human-in-the-loop applications are there, which one can easily employ current feedback control technology, which one will require fundamentally new feedback control technology, which ones can only use the paradigm of feedback control, but not the mathematics. So our first challenge was to understand human behavior. And the second challenge is how to model these behaviors using appropriate modeling techniques. System identification is a powerful tool for creating system models. If we need to use system identification to model human behavior, then it is not clear what will be the order and types of equations, how to generate adequate testing inputs, what will be the output variables, what will be the states, how the state transition will occur. MPAP is a depression monitoring system for the home. It uses sleep quality, speech prosody, weights, activities of daily living, and can potentially identify the early signs of a depression episode. Now, if we were to use system identification technique to model a person who is having depression, then it is not clear what will be the states, how the state transitions will occur based on the physiological, psychological status of the person. Because if we could model that, then we could probably change some of the factors in a way that will improve the quality of life. Current methodology for modeling humans are very general or very specific. For example, smart thermostat that models occupancy and sleep pattern just uses heated Markov model. And there are work that proposes mathematical models for injection of insulin for diabetes. They usually use some sort of threshold to determine the insulin injection by monitoring glucose level. But these are very specific, and we need to model holistic human behavior. System identification uses a very high-level black box approach to model the system. Is it going to be useful for modeling human-in-the-loop applications that require very detailed modeling, for example, that requires, for example, artificial pancreas, can it be combined with more detailed models? What other modeling techniques could be useful? And at what level the model could be useful so that they can serve as input for our next challenge? So our first challenge was understanding the complex spectrum of human behavior. The second challenge was how we model this behavior. And the third challenge is even if we have a model of human behavior, it is not clear how to incorporate this behavior model into the formal methodology of feedback control. For example, in the smart thermostat case, the system passively monitors occupancy. Here, humans are in the loop, but they are not giving any active feedback. Now think of another application where humans can provide some feedback by changing the temperature set point. Here, humans are forming some sort of hierarchical control because humans are changing the set point from a higher level and the system is trying to reach the set point in a lower level. Now think of an even more sophisticated system where the room temperature is changed depending on the physiological status of the residents. For example, if someone is having an episode of depression, the system can increase the room temperature. Here, human state detected by sensors guide the control. Humans are performing the role of a sensor. So apart from this context, there are a number of areas where a human model can be placed. It can be placed outside of the loop, inside the controller, inside the system model, inside a transducer, or at various levels in a hierarchical control. The newest challenge would be how to incorporate system behavior as part of the system itself. Can we provide guarantee or can we learn stability, accuracy, settling time, overshoot of such systems? Here is an example. An operator is working in an electrical power system. If we could model his behavior, working behavior, behavior while he's distracted, and if we could incorporate those behavior models into the system model, then we can analyze the overall system properties. So there are a number of advantages if we incorporate human behavioral models into the part of the system. For example, we can analyze the overall properties of the whole system. We can run optimization techniques across people in a home or building or even a city. We can choose optimal parameters to maximize multidimensional utilities. For example, maximize health improvement as well as save maximum energy. To summarize, in this challenge paper, we presented three challenges. The first one is the need for the comprehensive understanding of the complex spectrum of human-in-the-loop control. The second one is the need for modeling human behavior using appropriate modeling techniques. And the third one is how to incorporate these behavior models into the formal feedback control methodology. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, questions from the audience. Yes? When considering a human in the loop, I thought this was very interesting and thought-provoking, which is how might you account for the variability or inherent great degree of stochasticity in human behavior? Have you given some thought to that?
Well, for example, there will be some stochastic stuff, right? Although there are variability, but there are some kind of probabilities of doing this and that so on, right?
Well, it may not be quite right to even view it as some probability distribution. People go through phases of attention and inattention.
Right.
They're going to behave in very different ways. How might you cope with this? Do you need to detect that somehow? I'm just curious if you...
It's like modeling human minds, right? For some applications. Sometimes you get distracted, sometimes you don't. Probably we need to use appropriate sensors to detect whether you're looking at, or I don't know. Sometimes people use sensors to figure out whether someone is distracted or not by just looking at the eyes. So probably we need to, that's why this is a challenge. So we probably need to design new sensors or something different. I don't know.
And there you're introducing a whole other loop.
Right.
On the same aspect, you mentioned this insulin
injection, right?
So this is you mentioned this as being a very specific,
right, for a part of the body, right? Not the holistic.
But I would guess that it would be a very partial, specific response. And according to the thing which you want to integrate in the control loop, you would do an appropriate model, which is not necessarily reading in the minds of people, but just capturing the essential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, another question?
So, you had talked about human loops so far when we have looked, especially within the context of this community, when we have looked at human behavior, it has been within the context of a disturbance inside the system. We assume we understand the system behavior, we understand where we want the system to be, and the human input as in workloads, computing jobs I run, is all treated as a disturbance.
Right.
And on your slide, something where you were showing me a car, and there are people who are trying to understand how to develop a system for a self-driving car, for example.
Right.
In this case, the model is different in that I'm using observations of human behavior to actually model the system and how things should be controlled. So have you thought about which kind of thing is more interesting to you?
I think the third challenge, I mean, say... You're talking about the Google self-driving car, right?
Well, they don't necessarily use that particular paradigm, but yeah, similar.
But they do not consider the physiological status of the driver. For example, if the driver is drunk, we probably need to use some kind of additional device. We'll ask the driver to breathe, and then, or probably use additional sensors to figure out the driver is drunk. And if we could use those models as a part of the whole system, like the driving system, then we could analyze the safety properties of this system. That's what we are proposing.
Sure. One thing came to my mind is, besides of sensors and maybe actuators, human may be also the climb to control. So in the case like human feedback was set for temperature, so in that case human can be acting as a sensor for the temperatures, and also the plant to be controlled to be modeled.
Yeah, you're right.
This kind of human algorithm controllers, according to what Tarek said about earlier, there are the multiple control systems, and humans also play the controllers, and they need to work with other computer controllers.
Okay.
You have some quick comments.
Thank you.
All right. Maybe we should wrap it up there and thank the speaker again.